This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you. Come and sit and listen, let's declare the church. ultimate source of light. The divine light is divine presence. And God's light is God's presence. And we read about light already in Genesis 1, verse 3, where it says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So that was the very first thing that God did. He started with light. We can imagine as well, if we were to do something specifically nowadays, this time of year, we've got to work, we switch on first the light. But the year as well, we've got a few additional lights, and then we can work. And it's nearly like God is starting now with his creation. The first thing he's doing, he's switching on the light so that he can see where he's working. But there's more than that. Because God is the source of light. And light starts with God. And that is well, that God can divide the light from the darkness. Because anyone can do that, I would like to have his name and address. Because I don't think anyone can do it. God can do it. He created light. And if you take a look at the days of creation, the first day he created light. The second day he created the firmament. And the third day the dry land. And then on the fourth day the light bearers. And all of them was actually to bring order in the creation. And then the fifth and the sixth day, he brought life into creation, to the fish and the birds and the animals and the humans. And on the seventh day, he rested. Because the creation is complete as what he wanted to have it. God started with light. And a little bit later, we will come back to that again, where I also feel that if we are going to do something, first thing that we've got to do is we've got to speak light. We've got to speak that divine light over that place, over that situation. God is light. And it's for me always awesome to read that in Revelations, that God is light, and in New Jerusalem, there are no globes over there, no fluorescent lights, no spotlights, no batteries, no electricity, no 220, 380, nothing whatsoever, because God is the light. I'm first reading the part in the New King James, and then I'm going to repeat that specific sentence again in the Amplified. That's not talking about the New Jerusalem. "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were its temple." Before that, God was with his people in the tabernacle or in the temple, and it was limited to a certain area. But now there's no limit anymore. God is everywhere in the New Jerusalem. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb was its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and their honor to it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So those who've got a relationship with God, those who've accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are going to be in the New Jerusalem. And then it's not necessary to put up a wall or have doors to close, because they're all friendly people. Take a look around, they're all friendly people, all believers. But if you read that 1:23 again in the Amplified, "And the city had no need of the sun nor of the moon to give light to it, for the splendor and the radiance, the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is his Lamb." God is illuminating it, God's presence over there. life. We cannot imagine it. It's one of those things for the New Jerusalem. I'm looking forward to it. There's no light, there's no dark, there's no day and night. It's always also there. God is light. We also read it in 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. God is the ultimate source of light. And Jesus came down as the barrier of light. He brought that light. He brought that light from God to us. He brought us the light of life. John 1:6-9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. It's John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, and he's referring to Jesus. Jesus was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. That light, what Jesus is bringing, is a barrier of light, is for each and every one. It's not only for limited people, certain countries, certain age, or nothing. It's available for each and every one. The true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. And Jesus also said to the people, he was talking to the Pharisees when he said, when he spoke to them, and he said, I am the light of the world. He's confirming it. He's the light, he's the barrier of light, and he's bringing that light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He will have everlasting life if you believe in Jesus Christ. And then again later in John 12, he's talking to the people, the crowd around him. While you have the light, then he's referring to himself again, believe in the light. He said, believe in me, that you may become sons of light. And these things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. With God eliminating everything, and Jesus the light barrier coming down and bringing the light to us. And now we are the light. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, where God is talking, Jesus is talking about the salt and the light. And then he says to the people around him, you are the light. Show for the truth. You are the light. Each and every person over here is the light. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light the lamp and put it on a basket, but on a lampstand that give light to all who are in the house. And then he gives an instruction. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are the light. Jesus brought light. Jesus is giving it to us. If we believe in him, then we are the light. And we've got to shine the light to the people around us. And if we want to have an example of shining the light, then I think Stephen, the first martyr, is a good example of that. Stephen was one of those people who was one of his helpers to the apostles. And he was full of faith and power. And he was doing wonders and miracles. But then he was falsely accused of blaspheming of God. And then he was called in front of the Sanhedrin. And all who sat in the council in the Sanhedrin, and they gazed intently at Stephen, saw that his face had the appearance of the face of an angel. He was showing that light. He was reflecting that light. And I think those people must have sat over there and had a look at Stephen and knew that there's something going on with this guy. Because he's radiating that light. And it carries on. even up till where they stoned him. But he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit and controlled by him, gazed into heaven and saw the glory, the splendor, and the majesty of God, and Jesus standing at God's right hand, and he said, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand." And God is saying to us, shine my light. Jesus brought the light, and we've got to shine that light. We've got to shine that light in a dark world. Because if I'm going to ask you if we are living in a dark world, most probably all of you are going to mount and say, yes, we're living in a dark world. Detroit is dark, Netherlands is dark, Europe is dark. We have it on Thursday evening again. I had the privilege to go with Urbanus and try and speak to people. There was not one way we could share the gospel. All of them, not interested. No time, not interested. Even at a certain time, the guy said to me, "I hope you go to heaven," he said to me. I think, yes, I'm sure about it. I'm going to heaven, and I hope you are also going to heaven. But he wasn't interested for a conversation. It is a dark place where we are staying. And we've got to show the light in the world. I now want to update you a little bit on what is actually happening with what my mission is concerned. There are a few new verses over here, just going to repeat a little bit. The Lord has been speaking to us at the end of last year that we should plant a church in Nijmegen. And we've been there, the two of us, me and Renee, we've been praying over there, and we went to the mission team. In December, and then we prayed and we anointed the place, and we were waiting for the next step. And then God was speaking to us, to me and Renee, and said, "We've got to go over there, and we've got to plant the white flag over there in Nijmegen. We've got to go to the highest place in Nijmegen," which is quite easy to find in the Netherlands, because you just look around and you say, "Okay, that's the highest point." Everything around it is reasonable flat. And we went to that high place. We just proclaimed Nijmegen for God. We proclaimed God's kingdom again over Nijmegen. And we declared that God is king. God is also king of Nijmegen. We wrote scriptures out of Psalms and out of Acts. But before we went over there on Thursday, on Tuesday evening, we had intercession. And one of the guys also around the table at the intercession, he didn't know that God spoke to us that we had to go. Thank you, Marcus, for that picture. And God was showing him a white flag, and he was showing him Utrecht and Nijmegen. And then me and Renee had a look at each other and said, okay, God is speaking to other people as well. And Wednesday morning when I switched on the music, because in our house we always have put gospel music, what we're listening to, the first song, the title of the first song, White Flag. So I said, okay, Lord, getting a message, we better get serious week. But that's so awesome. If we look around, and if we want to be into what God is telling us, then we see that God is involved. Yes, God can do it. I trust it. But God can arrange it. I see the first song, White Flag, and I've put it on shuffle, so you don't really pick a song, and it comes up like it, and then I just give all the glory to God. We've got to reflect God's light in this dark world. God is asking us that we should reflect His presence, His light, wherever we go, and His glory as well, and that we've got to proclaim it, and declare it. If I was going to ask now and say, okay, who is ready to go? Who wants to go? Please do not raise your hand at the moment. And who thinks, yes, he's qualified for it, and he's got all the right experience, and he's, should I say, repented all his sins and so on, and say, okay, please raise your hand. And I think a lot of you are going to say, no, that's not for me. I do not want to be involved in shining God's light. Or go to the church, maybe go to a small group. further on down Tachi. I don't want to go any further. But I feel that God speaks to us today and says, I want you to reflect my glory, to shine my light in this dark world. And this is the thing that God wants to share with us today. We must probably say, I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. I cannot go. God can use any person. If we take a look at Noah, God chose him as a remnant to start in a fresh again. You need to say in nowadays terms, God rebooted the system. And as I was reading it, I thought, maybe God should have taken Noah and maybe put it at the end of the Old Testament and wiped all the people at that time and started from scratch again. But again, it's God's plan. And I'm not going to fiddle around with God's plan because He's got a plan which is perfect. But if we take a look at Noah, that God had a drinking problem. God used him. So if you've got a drinking problem, you can still be used. The next one, Moses. Moses killed a person. He's a murderer. So if you murdered somebody, God can still use you. But it's not murdering physically that you've killed a person. It can also be that you've spoken down on a person, that you're speaking another person into the ground, that you're talking negative about another person. God still saw an opportunity to use Moses to lead, I guess, approximately 2.4 million people out of Egypt. With all the miracles and with all the wonders which were going along with it, it's awesome. David, blue-eyed boy of God, was a murderer and an adulterer. How can God use such a guy for all the things that he's done? In the New Testament, 17 times it's referred Jesus, the Son of David. So important is David in the history, what we see in the Bible. God is still using adultery and murder. If we go to the New Testament, Peter walked with Jesus on land, he walked with Jesus on water, and when they asked him, he denies it. He says, I don't know Jesus. Who's that guy? No, never heard about it. Not once. Not twice. 3 times. And then God, Jesus speaks to him and asks him and says, do you love me? And all that Peter can say, you know that I love you. 3 times. But then Peter, he was the guy who did the first church part. He was the guy who did the first spiritual sermon. God used him. God who denied Jesus 3 times, God is using him. So if you've got excuses, there are more than enough examples why you still can be used. The last one I want to mention is Thomas. Thomas has also been walking like Peter, 3 years with Jesus. He has seen all the miracles, he heard about it, that Jesus said what was going to happen, but he didn't believe Jesus was resurrected. I first want to put my fingers into those holes. I first want to see it. Then I will believe. And then when Jesus saw it, Jesus said, come, put your finger in it. Put your hand in it. It doesn't say if it really happened or not. And apparently, if you're going to look it up, there are certain church groups who say, yes, Thomas has done it. He's put his hand in his sign, and also put his finger in the holes. And there are others who say it hasn't been done, but it's not what it is going about. What did he say afterwards? My Lord, my God. He only could confirm. He only could say, Lord, you are my God, and you are my Lord. mentioned just now before, they surrendered and they were obedient to God's calling. What happened in history, what happened in their bloodline, whatever sin they've done, whatever they've done wrong, it was not holding them back to be used by God. The next person is you. What is holding you back? What is holding you back? Shining God's light in this dark world. And I would say there are three prerequisites which are needed if we want to reflect God's light. First of all, we must be in a relationship with God. If we do not know God as the Creator of heaven and earth, if we have not accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we have not repented of our sins and thanked Jesus that He died for us at the cross, and if we have not asked and accepted the Holy Spirit as our helper, we cannot reflect God's light over here. The second one is that we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot do anything out of our own power. And then the second and the third one are actually linked up. Because then we're also going to be obedient to God's instruction. That's what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us, what you've got to do. That's what the Holy Spirit told them, which songs they've got to sing. The Holy Spirit told us, me and René, where we've got to go, is that the Holy Spirit is also wants to speak to us. Tell us what we've got to do. So if we really want to show God's light, then our three prerequisites, we've got to be born again, filled with Holy Spirit, and then also obedient to God's instruction. And I want to finish off with the last verse. It's coming out of Acts, where Peter and Jonathan have just now been released. They came together after they came back again to where their friends were. And they praised God, and they were singing and giving all the glory to God. And it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the source, the power of the light. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Because they prayed a prayer before it. And they asked, they said, God, give us a boldness. Give us a boldness that we can speak to other people, that we can show the light. What I feel that God wants to share with us today is that He wants us that we should go out as light bearers, as what Jesus was bringing the light from God to us, that we bring the light which we've received, spiritual light, in Jesus, and bring them to the different places. But what I also felt that the Lord wants us to do is that we've got to, and now coming back again, God started with the creation, and He said, let there be light. He spoke light over, and He wanted to say the mess, which it was at the moment, because it was really a mess before God started with the creation. And that God wants us to do exactly the same. That we speak life, that we speak light over the areas where we are. Your house, your work, place where you study, your street, your town. So if you go into a place, the same as the Lord told us what we've got to do in Nijmegen, there's a spiritual war going on. What is happening? I don't know. That we were obedient to what God is telling us to do. That all of us have got to do exactly the same in our own place. So if you drive through the Utrecht or walk in Utrecht, claim the Utrecht for God's kingdom. Declare, say, this is God's kingdom. When I plant a flag before we started the sermon over here, I said, this is God's place. Enemy is not place for you. This is God's place. And by declaring it, by speaking it out, because this is how God created heaven and earth as well, but just by speaking, we are sending a message into the spiritual realm. You don't see cathedrals falling over or people repenting on the knees. Do not expect something like this. But the thing is that, so if you're saying, yeah, I've got such a bad work and I don't know what to do with it, start speaking life. Bring that life which Jesus has given you. Bring it to your work. And once you get used to it, then you start speaking life continuously in the places where you're going. And you get used to it. Then you are shining God's light. What He's asking for us to do. Shine my light and bring it. Let's stand. We know that the current ruler of this world has only got one thing in his mind. He wants to destroy whatever you've created. And it's dark. But Father, you've given us light through Jesus Christ. And we can bring that light to the people. We can bring that light to the house where we're staying, where we're working, in the street, in a town, in a city, in a province, in a country. But like I said to some Father, the prerequisite is that we must have a relationship with you. And that's all the eyes are closed at the moment. And you're here today and you say, well, I've never taken the decision. I've never publicly declared that I accept God as creator of heaven and earth. Jesus is my Savior. And the Holy Spirit is my helper. And you're here today and you say, I want to carry that light. And I've got to do that first step. And if you're here today and you want to take that first step of accepting God the Creator, Jesus the Savior, and the Holy Spirit will help, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. And if you're here today and you say, yes, I heard of those guys, the Noah and the Moses and the David, my sins were there exactly the same. And as a result of those sins, I cannot be used for God's kingdom. Then you've got to repent of it. And once you've repented of it, it is finished. It doesn't exist anymore. And then you can be used for God, by God, for His kingdom over here. God could create heaven and earth, Father. Then you can do it immediately. And you can, with the click of a finger, the whole thing could be changed. But you want to work through us, Father. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is going to stir us, that we all going to be light carriers as we walk out over here. That the people can see that there's something different in us. Because we are content and we are your children of yours. As all eyes are closed at the moment, when I was busy with the sermon, and just now again I'm getting a picture of a wall which is being built. But there are two things with it. First thing is this, building God's kingdom, a wall which is being built, because it's going to be our reset, a new Jerusalem. As all eyes are closed, and if you say, I want to be used by God for building His kingdom, then I'm going to ask you to be bold and to lift your hand, and you can pray. Father, you see these hands now, and I pray, Father, that you're going to equip them as what they've got to be equipped to do the work that you want to do. And Father, I pray that through the Holy Spirit, you're going to guide them, and then it will be easy for them to help and build your kingdom over here in Utrecht, in the Netherlands, and in Europe. Thank you for these willing people, Father, that they are prepared to help your kingdom there's another side of the world. I feel there's a person over here who says, I've got a wall around me. I first have got to break down that wall before I can be used. And if you're that person, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, if you say, yes, there's a wall around me, and that is blocking me. And as a result of that wall, I cannot be used by God. Because I know that wall is not to be broken down first. If you feel that it's you, I'm asking you to raise your hand. Father, you see these hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, the wall which is around these people, I break them down in the name of Jesus Christ. That these people can be used for your kingdom, Father. That there's nothing which is going to hold them back. Nothing in their own mind, and nothing physically, Father, that they can be used for building your kingdom. And Father, I pray that the people who put up their hands, Father, are going to seek you. They're going to look for your guidance, what has got to be done, that this wall can be broken down. Deliverance is maybe needed, or if there's anything else what they've got to repent of, Father, that it can be taken away. The wall is diminished, it is gone. That they can move, that they can go where you want to go, where you want them to go, where they can be used for your kingdom. Father, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we thank you for the light which you've given to us. And we thank you for the privilege we've got to be the bearer of light, and that we can shine your light in this dark world. To you all the glory and all the honor, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.